Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel. Member of the Fisherman Ministry out here in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Jesus, we just thank you for bringing us all together again today, that we may learn more of you, that we may worship you, and that we may praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy of the whole earth.
great week, right? Everything went perfect for everybody. Everybody just ready to run and jump and dance in the street all week long, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And as we admit and acknowledge that our week did have some needs and a little bit of enjoyment thrown in there, I'm sure, in certain spots. Starting at verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holiness, in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. There's a lot of words here. This epistle should remind us of where we can make errors and where we can make improvements. To hold fast to the word of the Lord, which is the entire book of the Bible, not just the pretty little red letters. To follow the Lord, to love the Lord, to give yourself over to the Lord, to stand for the Lord, and to walk the walk that the Lord has instructed us to do, to be a witness of him to others, whether they think they know him or not. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the things, well, one of the verses in there that Bob brought out is that the Lord is not slack in his promise. He's not slack in any of his promises. So where's the disconnect? Ooh, must be us, right? If we're going to believe him, and we're going to believe his word, and we're going to believe that he is not slack in any of his promises to each and every one of us who call ourselves Christians, then what's stopping us from moving forward in his power and his love? Ain't nobody stopping us but ourselves. and our unbelief. And turn over to John chapter 10. And I'm just going to read verse 10. The thief, and here this is Satan, this is the devil, this is his minions, right? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, that is Jesus, am come that they, meaning my people, believers, Christians, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, a few weeks back, I know Melanie had given a little insight as to what was going on in our family. But yeah, I'm going to give the whole story here. Well, not that she slacked in any of that, but what had happened was she woke up. And for those of you that don't know, she's pregnant. And she had some blood and some cramping. Now, most of us know that if you're pregnant and all of a sudden you're bleeding and you got cramps going on, there might be a problem, right? So the first thing that we did was we joined in prayer together. Now let's just flip over to Matthew 18. I'm going to get to about verse 18, I think, here. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the first thing we did was we joined together in prayer. Right? And then contacted her midwife. And we went in to, check things out, make sure things were okay. And on the way in, the cramping started to subside. The blood slowed, began to stop. And eventually it was later on that night that it all had resolved. Now, while we're at the midwife, I'm praying that the Lord show us in a way that we can understand that everything's okay, or to show us in a way we can understand what we need to do next to move forward. They checked out the baby, they saw the heartbeat, we took some, them funny pictures, the sonograms, and we saw little hands and feet and things wiggling, and things look good, right? So we're thinking, well, praise God. And in the course of that, we did some blood tests and others just to be prudent. But we didn't get the results from the blood test for a few days. And we came home, and as these things resolved, we started, thanking the Lord. Things had resolved themselves and everything seemed okay. But then we get the results of the blood test. And the blood test shows that there is potentially, and it's a fairly high probability, that there's a problem with the baby, a genetic issue that would cause a miscarriage, or that would cause a stillbirth, or if the baby actually was born live, the chances of it living more than a year were highly improbable. So, Melanie brought me that news, and the first thing we did was we went and we got with Davey, explained what was going on, and again, the three of us joined in prayer. And that prayer was, Lord, our will is that this baby be delivered, that it be healthy, that there be no problem. Right? And we just ask you, Lord, that you either deliver the baby from this problem or deliver the baby from Melanie. And of course, it takes a few days to go in and get further testing and this stuff. So you find yourself in a place where, sure, you prayed, but do you believe your prayer? Do you believe that the Lord is not slack in any of his promises? Do you believe that even for you, you horrible little sinner you, that there's a little bit of love? So you wrestle. You wrestle with that unbelief. And the only way to get rid of that is to reject it, to stomp it, to get that as far from you as east is for west, and to cleave to his word and to believe him. So we go in for more tests. And, you know, there's a further blood test that's supposed to be more precise. There's additional sonograms looking for more particular things than we looked for last time. And we go in, and the blood test results, of course, take, you know, 7 days or whatever. So, oh, man. And, of course, we couldn't get an immediate appointment for a sonogram. That took like a week, too. So, you know, we got this period of time where we're wrestling with this. And as Melanie's head, I mean, I know that I have to stand on this. So any piece of doubt that comes anywhere near me, I'm just kicking it off, I'm throwing it off, I'm running from it, I'm getting rid of it, I'm standing against it. And that reminded me of tribulation. Let's go over to Romans 5. Romans 5, chapter 5. Yeah, well, that's what Romans 5 is, right? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now it also builds faith, right? Knowing that if you stand, and if you believe and you see the results on the end, you can then yet have greater faith in him that he'll be there next time. And this is why I share this stuff with you guys, so that you can see, so that you can have an opportunity to stand and experience his love. So we go into the sonograms and all that, like I said. It seemed like everything was great, you know, within normal range on the sonogram. Praise God, right? The specialist that was doing the sonogram said, well, you know, let's just come back in 10 weeks, just verify everything's all set, but I don't see a problem. Cool. Thank you, Lord. Right? But we're yet waiting for the blood results and the other tests, just for us, or at least for me. I don't want to speak for Melanie, but I believe that she wanted to see it too, just for that final confirmation that this is taken care of. Thank you, Lord. Right? And it comes down that She gets an email from her midwife. We haven't heard from her in, you know, a few days. She gets an email from her. And the midwife, the way that she phrased something kind of brought back this sudden fear that Melanie had preached about a few weeks ago over in Proverbs 3. I think it's right around verse 25. It was something to the extent of, be not afraid of sudden fear. Right, but as Melanie starts reading the email, the midwife says something to the extent of, well, I had thought that I would have heard from you after the sonogram, but you guys must be processing the information you received. Get in touch when you can. You say, wait a minute, processing? What's there to process? I mean, the midwife apparently thought there was a problem. Otherwise, I mean, why would she say that, you know? So then you don't have the results, and all this stuff comes right back upon you. You're like, wait a minute. Wait, was the sonogram wrong? Was this wrong? Yeah, was my prayer not answered? But you know, the results to the blood test came in, and praise God, everything was normal. Within the normal limits, is I think how they phrased it. Turn over to Psalm 105, verse 1. I think this is where Steve was this morning up in Vermont. The way that he framed this psalm was, it's kind of like our marching orders. It's what we need to do as Christians. And I am just going to focus on the first two verses here. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. I share you a personal story of, you know, some magnitude. Not because it was anything I did. Not because it was anything a doctor did or Melanie did. But because the deliverance of this baby from this issue, the deliverance of this baby from that thief that was trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and that glory belongs to him. Now, as I mentioned last week, we're soldiers. Soldiers find themselves in battles. And if you don't have, you know, that fortitude to stand in battle, if you haven't seen somebody make it through that battle to the other side, you might fall into a hopelessness. And as a soldier, you fall into that place, you're going to find yourself dead. So we need to hold on to that faith. Hold on to that strength. We need to let that grow. Look to the folks that have been through a few of these skirmishes. Ask them how they've made it. Lean on Jesus. Believe his word. And he will see you through.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. He
I'm in Psalm 105. And Steve preached on this earlier today and brought up some interesting points. Scott touched on it. But I want you to look at something a little different here because there's two themes going on here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. In verse 2, sing unto him, sing praises, sing psalms. Unto him talk ye of all his wondrous works. Now see, when most people read this, they see one item. I see two. In verse 1, he's calling upon God's people to make known his wondrous works. How do you make known his wondrous works if they be not done? And how can they be done if his people don't do them? Jesus came to show the Father. The prophets came to do the works of God and to give out his word. Many people think in this day and time that you have to be special to do the works of God. That somehow or another you have to be a predestinated, called and anointed one of God to do his works. You look at the prophets of old, Jeremiah, Daniel. These were predestinated men. But there was a guy by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a Tishbite. He was a Tishbite. That's pretty low on the totem pole. And he got a hold of the word of God and he read it. And he compared what was going on in Israel with the word of God. And he stood up and he proclaimed, "Where is the Lord God of Israel? Let all of these things that are written be done unto Israel. Let there be no rain upon the earth until I say otherwise." And I paraphrase that. That got the attention of God. I can just see Michael up there saying, "Who's that?" And Gabriel over here, "Well, I don't know." I can see the father saying, "You better check him out." And immediately God began to train Elijah to be a prophet. He wasn't preordained. He was just a regular seed of Adam who chose to believe God's word. And through him, he manifested God's greatness and his goodness. God had a vessel he could use. Have you heard it said, "I want to be a tool in the hand of God"? Have you heard that said? Well, I'll tell you what, you will not hear that from me. You will never hear it from me because the tool is put away and cast aside when its usefulness is done with. Do you want to be cast aside and put away when your usefulness is done with? Then let's be the hand of God. If we be the body of Christ, if you be a believer on the name of Jesus Christ, you are part of his body, not a tool to be picked up and thrown away, but part of his body that has the power of the Father in them. Let us give thanks unto the Lord, calling upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Be prepared to walk in that anointing that God freely gives to those who seek him. You don't have to worry about being predestinated. There are those that are predestinated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. But the predestinated come to show the seed of Adam that there's a way for them to join in also. And if the seed of Adam will grab hold of the word of God and dare to believe it, then it doesn't matter who you are. You can make known his glorious power and his glorious ways. In my years serving God, I've seen God move in wondrous ways. I've seen his power many, many times. Some of them that are here in this room has seen his power move. And some of those that are listening right now by internet or by listening to the recording have seen the power of God move through this minister. But why me? Why not you? All it takes is to seek his face. All it takes is to want to do his will. All it takes is to lay down your will, your desires, your plans, and pick up his. That's all it takes. Not that big a deal, is it? It's easy. It really is easy. The hard part is wanting to do it. If you be a Christian, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have given your life over to him, then you are one of the sons of God. And you have the authority to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to preach his gospel, to perform his miracles, to show forth the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. And until you do, you can go forth and tell others of the goodness of the Lord that you've seen. See, two parts. Talk about all of his wonderful works. But seek to be a partaker of performing those works that others may believe. Amen. Amen. I'm done.
We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see.
to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward, little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high.
Thank you. We come before you humbly, Lord, and thank you for those who brought your words to us today, who gave us understanding through your word. We praise you and we love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you and we ask that you go with us this week. And we ask that you direct our feet, that you direct our path. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.